I thank the Lord that He is with us. Thank Him that we can trust Him in all things. The message that the Lord has given me today is, look up, your redemption draws nigh. Out of Matthew 24, we read, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famine and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountain. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of the house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as had not been since the beginning of the world, until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the sake of the elect, for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Amen. You know, this text is predominantly written to the Jews. It has some application for us because of the extra dimensionality of Scripture. And we will also, in every generation, be affected by some of these things. But some of these things are particularly for what's going to take place in Israel. And that is upon us very soon. But I felt that I needed to let you know, saints, that I am very serious about what I come and say to you. And I told you at one time that there was a time in my life that God revealed some things to me very clearly. And occurred in our world at a time that was outright affirmation, confirmation of what God has shown me. It was the one thing that I said to the Lord, of course I said to the Lord many times, why are you showing me this? But this is the first time he said, so that you might warn your people. I realized the other day that for God to have given me such a word and shown me what he showed me, and I'm thinking about, I'm in Sierra Vista, we're just a little town off the road here, and I realized there must be some real significant reason why God showed me what he showed me, because it would be on a national level, if not international level. And I can tell you that those things are set in place. You see them every day, and you know the individuals that I would tell you if I gave you names that are alive and well on planet Earth, maybe not well, but here. And I tell you again, when I come to tell you something, I don't want you to say he just, how would you say it? What do you call those kind of people who have come with warning? What? A doomsday monger or whatever they call those. I don't know. It's just that we have been born in such a time as this. We live on this planet. And if this was a couple years or more ago, you would do what you did then, shrug and kind of duck. But now you probably got your head up and say, well, yes, some of those things, many of those things have come to light. And so there's something I want to share with you, but one is a vision, not so much a vision, but a young 15-year-old boy in Israel died and was taken to heaven and returned, and I want to share with you some of that story. But like a thief in the night, the rapture of God's church is upon us. That word rapture in the Greek harpazio, in Latin raptura, means to be caught up or taken away suddenly. It's like to be snatched away as if it was almost violent when you look at the Greek word there. But you know, in the spirit, when you go up, you can take it. You'll be able to take the great snatch, the big snatch. But I need to let you know that these days are serious days. And you know that these days are conforming and confirming the scriptures. And some generation will have to be that generation that Jesus actually returns in fulfillment of his word. Some generation has been appointed for that. And never in any time have you had so many pulpits and so many preachers and so many teachers telling the people this. There's something that burns in us. And the word of the Lord comes to us. But more and more we see this experience being replicated in the media, where Christians will suddenly be transformed out of their human bodies and go to heaven and come back with messages. Many Christians are afraid or embarrassed to talk about the rapture of the church. Deep down, they feel an excitement about the prospect of being snatched away in the twinkling of an eye to be with the Lord and Savior they love, worship, and have given their life to. However, they fear being labeled, criticized for a hope that many through the ages have had. A hope that God fully intended for us to have, but we are not to be ashamed of our Lord or his gospel, but bold in testifying of him. For whoever is ashamed of me, the Lord says, and of my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of his holy angels. There is a reason Christ warns his end time followers 13 times in the New Testament to not be deceived and to watch and be ready. He warned us to be excited about his glorious appearing. He wanted us, rather, to be excited about his glorious appearing. Satan, on the other hand, does not want us to be excited. He is the master deceiver and wants us to believe his deceptions. And there are many of them. Be careful when he tells you something about somebody else that just might be one of those. Rather than the signs of Christ returning to us by Jesus himself, he tells us he's not coming. He will send many to deceive us and to rob us of the joy of living every day in anticipation of Christ's return. I have that anticipation. Sometimes I'm just overwhelmed with the sense of the reality of it. And I cannot stop telling Jesus how much I love him. I said, Lord, I don't know why I can't stop telling you this. And I think it's a kind of a passion, it's kind of a something, a dial that God sets in our hearts when we seek him in prayer and we fast and we, you know. And that's some of these kinds of things we are to be doing at this time. Jesus needs to be your most central occupation right now. On your heart and on your mind every day. For those who believe that the Bible is the truth and is the very word of God, it's easy to believe in and rejoice in the prophecies that tell us of the rapture of God's church. So then, will the church be raptured? We know there is more evidence today that he is coming for us, his church, sooner than any other time in history. As these signs intensify, all of us who know Christ as our Savior would be looking toward heaven and awaiting the coming of the Lord. I suggest it may be sooner than you think. And now I want to share with you an amazing story of an Israeli teen who returned from 15 minutes of clinical death with spiritual messages concerning what is being called the coming redemption. A 15-year-old secular Israeli boy named Nathan had a near-death experience on Monday, September the 28th. Mark the date I give them. September 28, 2015. A return to life describing biblical prophecies about the end days. In a video posted on YouTube, you can find it, and you will be amazed at some things I had to delete because of the sensitiveness of them. But Nathan is shown speaking to an Orthodox Jewish audience in a synagogue in Israel just days after his near-death experience. He relates his understanding of what was revealed to him in the next world during the 15 minutes that he was pronounced clinically dead. Rabbi Rami Levy, who sits beside Nathan and helps the teen tell the story, claims that Nathan did not study in a Jewish religious school and did not learn the things he spoke about from the Bible. Levy himself was raised in a secular anti-religious Israeli house. In 1982, while performing reserve duty in the Israeli army, he survived the Lebanon War through a miracle of divine intervention. And Levy subsequently became religious. That's what war would do to you. Got a lot of Christians in foxholes. And he was eventually ordained a rabbi. Now, Nathan, his near-death experience happened on the first night of the past Sukkot, which was also the night of the final blood moon. At the home of his uncle, where he went to visit for the holiday, Nathan began feeling unwell. He described suddenly shivering and felt cold in his arms and legs. Nathan decided to go and rest, and in those moments felt his soul exit his body. Nathan, he speaks now. There are three main characters who will be speaking: Nathan, the rabbi, and a narrator. According to what I understood there, I am certain that I know it. When I was up there, I understood what was going to happen in the world. Nathan, the narrator, speaks to him. Nathan makes that statement and continues as the rabbi listens and asks a lot of questions. Nathan then speaks, according to what I understood, what I told you about Mashiach, or the Messiah, and everything I also understood that the Gelu and the revelation of the Mashiach, which means the Messiah, is going to happen very soon. The Gelu is the Hebrew word for redemption. Christians believe that as well. I find that interesting, the narrator says. Nathan says, it's going to happen very soon. It's like it's going to happen in the very near future. It's imminent. The Gelu, or the redemption, is really coming. It's coming. Rabbi speaks now. Now tell me, when you were there, there was no conception of time. How can you estimate there the concept time? What is imminent? Is it 20 years? 2 years? A month? Nathan, imminent is right away. Like in the coming months. Rabbi, in the coming months? Nathan, I don't know how I know these things. I just understand these things. When you're there, you can see behind you, in front of you, the sides of you, everything. You just know what's happening and what's going on. He had said that after being there within 5 minutes, you know everything. I think it may come up, but he talks about his whole life going through him from the time he was born within, what he said, seconds. Can you imagine seeing every day you ever lived in seconds and being able to retain it all? Don't you want a mind like that? The narrator. But I do realize that that redemption is only months away. But we also know there are a lot of things that are going to happen in the coming months. Israel's redemption also includes two witnesses. And those are two witnesses in Revelation who come back from the dead and stand, and then later on they're stoned and killed, and people have a party and they have what they call the Satanic Christmas. They send gifts to everybody. So Israel's redemption also includes two witnesses. As he speaks about these things, you're going to find out, ironically, he mentions that he doesn't realize what he's mentioning. Let's look at what he says here. The rabbi says, so the question comes in now, do you also know what will happen? Nathan, yes, I know what is going to happen. Yes, rabbi, and you know that from there. Nathan, yes, everything I know is only from there. Narrator, you have to understand that Nathan was never taught anything secular, or he means religious. Where are you holding, Rabbi? The rabbi asks him, where are we holding right now? Nathan, in that period, not a good one, not at all, at all. Like I can tell you that the redemption is very close to here. Rabbi, what will happen during the redemption, Nathan? Very bad things are going to happen. But it depends on who, as far as I understand. It is certain it will occur in the coming months. Rabbi, is there perhaps the possibility that it won't happen? Narrator, what the rabbi is actually asking about is if the people were willing to repent, because he is speaking about bad things that are actually going to happen. Nathan, there is the possibility that if we were to repent, it won't happen. Narrator, Nathan goes into the technicality that if only we would repent, things would be different. He also talks about doing good deeds. We know that works do not get you into heaven. However, God does expect us to show kindness and love here on earth, to say the least. Nathan, if they commit transgressions, the redemption will be less pleasant. He is talking about the redemption of Israel. And so the rabbi says, if they commit transgressions, it will come to pass in a much more difficult manner. More difficult, yes? And if everybody repents, it will come to pass in an easy way. Unfortunately, not everybody is willing to repent. We know that's clearly the way it is. It's going to happen no matter what. That is the redemption of Israel. Narrator, not everyone who claims to be Jewish is going to make it. God is coming to redeem those who are willing to repent. And again, I have a feeling as you watch little brother Nathan And what he shares with us here, he is looking at this happening all over a course of months. Yet there are certain things that God must fulfill biblically that will take longer than a few months. But it will be in months. And if we look at the ministry of those two witnesses, one of the things that I believe myself is that once their ministry is finished, this is when judgment sets in. And according to what Nathan sees, that's exactly what happens. After fighting among themselves and with Russia for a while, all nations will rise up against Israel because they want the land for themselves and the oil. You didn't know that Israel has discovered one of the richest oil fields and gas, natural gas fields. This was reported some years ago, a couple years ago maybe. And so the argument here is that that's what all the nations want. And that's what I'm, you know. And so that's kind of like a dance going on, getting all those soldiers there, all those armies there. And then they're going to fight each other, and then they're going to turn on Israel to get the oil, the natural gas, and the other stuff. Israel is one of the most nations that have the greatest inventors. And one thing that happens when they buy their jet planes from us, they remodel them, refurbish them. They become faster, you know, they change and alter the cockpits and everything. And so finally, in this last shipment you may have heard about a year or so ago, our government told them they would sell them to them, but they couldn't modify them anymore. But they said, well, we refuse to buy them. Of course, we changed and said, okay, we'll sell them to you. And so, after fighting among themselves, this is the narrator speaking, and with Russia for a while, all nations will rise up against Israel because they want the land for themselves and the oil, and the Vatican wants Jerusalem. That's what the narrator says, Nathan. Everyone will fight against each other because they want it. Jerusalem, the rabbi. Now, according to what you know there, what you saw there, how is it going to happen, Nathan? It's going to be according to what I understood. Right now, our situation is not good at all. I mean, not good. It's going to be something that is called a very big war. Everybody, the whole world would be involved in that war according to what I understood. The narrator, there's your World War III. Nathan, the whole world will simply be involved in that war. Everybody, all the Goyims, that's the Gentiles, all the Arabs, and everybody will come against the nation of Israel and will fight in that war. They're going to fight. The person who will start the war will be somebody named Gog. As far as I understood up there, only up there I understood. Nathan, he will bring his whole army. He will start the war here, Rabbi. And he will fight against us? Nathan, yes, he will fight against us. At first, everyone will simply want the nation of Israel, Jerusalem, Israel. Everyone will want it. Narrator, that is pretty obvious already as well. The Vatican wants it. Abbas wants it. America wants it. All the Arab nations want Jerusalem. Russia wants it because they have an investment, because they have an interest there as well. So truly everyone wants Jerusalem. That's an understatement to say the least. Nathan, Jerusalem, yes. Everyone will want it. The whole world is going to want it. They won't pay any attention to us. They simply want it. Everyone will fight against each other because they want it. That's what started the war in the Middle East. Narrator, as you've been speaking about all along, not just here, there have been many other news sources out there, especially those into prophecy, that know that the Gog and Magog war is all about the spoil or the oil in this region here. They all want this, for that very purpose, and this is why we see a war about ready to break out, to say the least, Nathan. It won't be long at all. As far as this war, it will take only about two weeks. This is the war between the nation fought in the Middle East before the attack Israel. Narrator, keep in mind when we look at that being a two-week war, it still takes time for them to get their troops there. Even when they were planning to attack Saddam Hussein, it took time. In the meantime, while they began to put their forces together, somewhere along the way, very soon, the two witnesses have to come on the scene. Something drastic is about to happen in the Middle East. The reason why I said this is because this is going to be a two-week battle there. When they start slugging it out with each other, it is also going to get into a little bit about these two men that are dead and will be raised from the dead that come along as well. I know they can send in troops pretty quickly, but normally it takes a little bit more time to do that. The transporting, putting in the armor, and all that kind of good stuff. So although Nathan's trying to recollect what he has seen and it's going to happen, keep in mind that when he was looking at this, and I'm not sure exactly the date when the video was made itself, all of this happened on the first day of Sukkoth, when the young man in his near-death experience. We've had time pass already, and I've seen things rapidly build, including talk about sending in troops. Rabbi, all the bad things will take 2 weeks. What will happen during those 2 weeks? Nathan, more than a few million people will die. The only thing, that has to be a nuclear war. The only thing that saves them, from what I understand, is if they repent. That's if only God can save them. If a person learns Torah and performs acts of kindnesses, for us, the word of God, that's what will save him from the thing. You know, that's the Christian faith a little different from the Jewish. We know it takes repentance and salvation, born and being born again. The narrator, repentance is the key. Being religious is not what God is looking for. Yeah. The rabbi, it says in the Gemara, or the Torah, that when they asked Rabbi Eleazar HaGadol, what can a person do to save himself from the birth pangs of the Mashiach, or Messiah, Rabbi Eleazar HaGadol answered, he should occupy himself with Torah and Gamilut Kasadim, acts of kindness. That's what will save him. What kind of war is this? A spiritual war? Nathan, no. Rabbi, a war of soldiers between soldiers? What is it? Nathan, partially. At first it's going to be a war between soldiers. The whole world will simply come. Simply at the first, all the Goyim or the Gentiles will battle each other and will want Israel in the end. Narrator, that's what they are all going there for in the first place, China included. He even talks about South Korea getting involved in this battle. Nathan, what will happen is this. Everyone will unite to fight against us, the nation of Israel, and many people from Israel will die. Several million people will die. A ton of people will die. Narrator, that's after they duke it out and come to a compromise over who gets what is Israel, as they rip the country apart. Rabbi, those who didn't keep Torah and mitzvah, or meaning commandment, Nathan, they will die. Rabbi, those who kept the Torah and mitzvah, Nathan, those who kept the Torah and mitzvah, it depends. Narrator, just because you are religious, that is not what God wants. Nathan, it depends if they did Torah with gamut or loving kindnesses. I mean, being kind to people. You know, it's amazing to me. There are people who are believers who cannot smile at you, cannot say a kind word about people. And when you meet people like that, you wonder, where is the change in our nature? Where is the change in our heart? You know, this is the time we all need to be thinking about what things we need to nail down for God in our lives. Narrator, it's the same with Christianity. Do you just do it out of fear? What's your real purpose behind it? You wonder, what is some people who can tell you they're believers and they can say, I repent. But just saying, I repent, you know, the words, you know, if your heart is not in it, you know, if you're not repenting from your heart, if you're not crying out to God, if you don't realize how desperately you need Him. Nathan says, there are those who are observant, but they don't really care about it. They are casual about it. But if someone is really strict, studies Torah, an act of kindness, he will be saved. That is, if it's all flowing from the heart, as I said. That the narrator, he's looking at this from his own perspective. What I see when I look at this young man and what he is seeing and trying to explain, he is a Jewish young man. Yes, God is coming to redeem the Jew, but he is also looking at this from sincerity of heart. I agree that God does not go by the 613 laws of Leviticus. David says the laws of God can be written on a bedpost. What matters mostly is sincerity of heart. Rabbi, how will we be saved, Nathan? What will happen is like this. According to what I saw up there, Rabbi, what does it mean you saw? Do you see it like a movie of the future? Yes, I see it like a movie of the future. You see, it is in mere seconds, but it's lots and lots of time, like the movie of my life I saw at first. They showed me my life in a thousandth of a second, like in thousandths of a second. They showed it to me. And I saw every single second of my life when I was a baby, when I was a boy. I saw it all. Rabbi, now let's move forward. You saw what? I saw a movie. Let's call it a movie of the future, the rabbi said. What is it going to be? Nathan said, yes, I simply saw that everyone was attacking Israel and came against us, and they fought against us. We, the IDF, that is the Israeli Defense Forces, were managed to hold them at bay for 2 days, according to what I saw. And then they will kill us. We won't have anyone to rely on, no one but the Holy One. Blessed be He. And then what will happen is suddenly, Rabbi, wait. This war, the IDF will only hold out for 2 days? Rabbi, after 2 days, Nathan will be finished by then. Rabbi, no. No IDF? Nathan, no IDF. Rabbi, so everything is open. Nathan, everything is open, exposed, unprotected. The narrator, I have a feeling this is my own thought in here. God is probably letting him see in sections. As I said, it will take the invading forces a little bit of time to get there. They are all going to mobilize their troops, and this is going to be over the next months. Now, this is back in September. As time goes by, your two witnesses have got to come on the scene at any time now in order to begin to start dealing with Israel. God is showing him the redemption of Israel. The redemption of Israel comes when the fullness of the Gentiles has come. Now, my thought here referenced how they keep talking about how much time they need for all that to happen. And the problem I see is the narrator and the rabbi having here is that they both are seeing the war Nathan speaks of as Armageddon, when in reality it sounds more like the Ezekiel 38 war. In the past, I've said that those wars will be a short war, possibly along with the Psalm 83 war, followed by the rapture, which, you know, it's snatching away, we talked about earlier. a quick and sudden snatching away of God's family from the earth. Now, it is also probable that the short period constituting the seven-year tribulation period and the battle of Armageddon is a blink and a heavenly vision. In other words, that 7 years could be in a vision, could be just like, you know, a blink. And so, as I said, those two wars are supposed to be brief, short wars. And, of course, Armageddon is the long, well, I don't know how very long it's going to be. But I want to share with you because my heart tells me that God was working with this young boy, a young unschooled, unlettered guy, to bring back this vision to us, to warn, because we are not hearing. A lot of people are not hearing. They, you know, it's like Jesus was said, well, sin is at the door, nipping at the heel, and we don't realize that our world is really, 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 really in trouble. And we don't know the subversiveness that's going on in our own nation, in our own land. The powers that be who are involved in, you never would believe it. So in the past, I've said the war would be a short one, and so on. Now, it's also probable that like I said, that it will be a quick one. So you say that God will lead the war, Nathan. He will lead the whole war, Rabbi. And who will join him? Nathan, Iran will join him. Now, I'll tell you. First I'll finish it. Iran will join him, the UN, the whole UN, yes. Russia, South Korea, the whole UN, he says it again. Really, everyone, all 70 nations will be against us. 70. Narrator. I've said many times before, how could you get all the nations in the world in there to fight against Israel? The only way to get all the troops there against Israel is to bring a United Nations force against them. And that's certainly going to be something that we see happen. It may come from within as well. Now, there are some things, like I told you, where he tells you who God is and what's going on. And so I think it's too sensitive a matter for me to speak over the pulpit. So, Rabbi, where is ISIS in all this, Nathan? ISIS, what they will do is, that is what I saw. They will kidnap people. They will simply kidnap people. Rabbi, they will kidnap our people? Yes, like they did Gilead, Charlotte. They will also do this. They will kidnap people, torture people, and things like that. Then the young boy speaks about the Messiah standing on the Mount of Olives and determining who is worthy to be saved. And describing this future scene, he says, the mountain simply opens. It splits in two, but not by an earthquake and not by an atomic bomb. The vision matches a prophecy in Zechariah 14, 4 and 5, in which the Mount of Olives, located just east of the old city of Jerusalem, will split and create a valley. For your edification, the text says, in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives will be split in its middle from east to west by a very large valley, so that half of the mountain will move toward the north and the other half toward the south. Note, when the nations are ready to annihilate Israel and destroy Jerusalem, Jesus will come and his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, the same mountain from which he ascended in Acts 1:11-12. So when Jesus comes back, there's going to be a cataclysmic event, for as he sets his feet upon the Mount of Olives, it will split in two. Years ago, when Sheraton Hotel Corporation was looking at the Mount of Olives as a potential site, an environmental impact study showed that it was due to a major fault running right through the Mount of Olives. They couldn't continue construction. The geologists discovered what a scripture had known for 2,500 years. In verse 5, the prophet says, you will flee by the mountain, pardon me, you will flee by the valley of my mountains, for the valley of the mountains will reach to Uzziah. Yes, you will flee just as you fled before, the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come and all the holy ones with him. Note, when the Mount of Olives splits, it will actually provide a way of escape for the people of Jerusalem. In earlier times, the Lord parted the Red Sea in order that his people could escape to safety. In the last days, he will not part a sea but a mountain for his people to escape from the army surrounding them. Now, what does that tell us about the times that we're in right now when we hear the danger that the Israel people are in? So we've really got to be people who are truly spiritually awake and up to making sure that our hearts and lives are prepared for him and for his coming. We got to really make sure of that. Amen. You know, because I say, Lord, you show me all the things that I saw and the things you said. And I'm here. We're a little flock. You know, what's the significance of, isn't this, are there other people on the world stage who know what I know? But all I know is for some reason, you must be significantly important for God to go through all those years, because he showed me this back when I was still at Fort Hood, Texas. I hadn't even been to Germany yet. And so, but when it came back, and recently it came back with a rushing storm, I go, oh boy. And so I know for some reason, saints, some reason God has appointed you to know. I wish I could tell you. I wish I could tell you. But I tell you, I'd probably split the church if I told you actually what she showed me. Now, what does this tell us about where we are again? In describing the qualities of the Messiah, Nathan said, first of all, he's someone who can't sin. He called him the Mashiach. He didn't commit any transgressions. It can't be that Mashiach is someone who committed transgressions. Now, it can be someone who, now, he's talking about who he is. He said, now, it can be someone who we actually know very well. Lots and lots of people know him, according to what I understand. But everyone would be very, very surprised that he is, of all people, the Mashiach. Now, in that second, the Messiah will be revealed to everyone, meaning before everyone, everyone will simply see it as the Messiah, will understand that it is the Messiah. Here he is revealed to everyone, and he will stand at the entrance there at the Har Hazitim, that means the Mount of Olives. And he will say who can enter and who cannot. Toward the end of the portion of the video, Nathan describes the power of the Messiah to discern a person's holiness. I also saw that the moment Mount of Olives split in two, then the Mashiach will stand at the entrance, but he won't see who is religious, who has a beard, or who has a person. In other words, he's not looking for religious stuff. He's looking for hearts. He will see according to a person's holiness. 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 Say it. Holiness. Can you say it again? Holiness. If someone has holiness, if he is pure, if he did mitzvah, which is God's commandments, if he performed acts of kindness, to see if he really has true fear of heaven, the fear of not being pleasing to God, that is. You know, it's not the fear. You know, sometimes you have the thing, Lord, you can do everything you know to do that right, and you somehow still feel like, God, you know, Lord, I just want to please you, Lord. God, you know, and that's that fear of heaven, a fear of coming up before him and not sure you're going to please him in everything. But you know you're going to make it because of grace. and because you're in Christ. Amen. You know what I mean? You get the point I'm making here? And if he performs acts of kindness to see if he really has true fear of heaven. Now, the two witness thing, Nathan, now they will rise up. You know how on the Mount of Olives there are graves. So two of the dead people will arise. Two dead people will come back to life. One from here, one from there, and it will split in two. That's how it would happen. Nathan is catching glimpses of what will transpire over the next few years. Oh, that's a narrator. Nathan is catching glimpses of what will transpire over the next few years. The two witnesses preach the death and resurrection of Jesus and their own death and resurrection 3.5 days lying in the street. When they rise up, the earth trembles again. Narrator. And who is the only one? And who is the only one who can fit that particular category? Yeshua. Wow. Nathan. Also know that the Mashiach will fight against God. And not only that, he will kill him and bury him in the land of Israel. I also saw that the moment the Mount of Olives splits in two, that the Messiah will stand at the entrance, but he won't see who is religious, who has a beard, or who a person is. What he will see again, according to the person's holiness, he will discern. Each person, he will know if someone has holiness, if he is pure, if and did mitzvah, to see if he has true fear of heaven. Nathan, I mean, really, he will have a certain power that he will be able to feel what is truly inside every person. Nathan, I ask you once again, says Rabbi, is all of this from here? Nathan, I know all of it is from there. I mean, the Rabbi says, is all of this from there? And Nathan says, all of that is from there. Rabbi, that means a week ago you didn't know this? Nathan, I didn't know these things. I didn't know. I had no idea. Man in the audience, you didn't read books or something? Nothing? Nathan, nothing. Nothing. Man in the audience, where did he learn? Rabbi, he's not a yeshiva student. Rabbi, wait one second. One second. I just want to say something here. Look at what he is saying and look. He says the God will fall. Pardon me. He said that God will fall here in the land of Israel, and Hashem will give him a grave here. Must be God. Nathan, here is in the land of Israel. Rabbi, so Ezekiel the prophet says, on that day I will give Gog a burial place. Nathan, that's exactly what they said to me. Exactly. Rabbi, Ezekiel? Nathan, exactly the same thing. Rabbi, and you say, Har Hazitim will split. Har Hazitim, Har, I guess my tongue is getting a little twisted now. On the Mount of Olives will split in two, so that's what I saw. The prophet says he was a long time ago. Nathan, that is exactly what will happen if things continue as they are. Like if the world keeps on like this, that is exactly what's going to happen for certain. Rabbi, how will I know when all of this has started? Nathan, it will come in a boom. First of all, it has already started. Rabbi, it started? Nathan, according to what I saw, it was already started on the date of 27 in LU, September 11th, 2015. It started already, Rabbi. And we thought nothing happened on the Shemitah. In fact, I got a bunch of stuff I can share with you, but I couldn't get it in this. And so maybe that'll be another message sometime. Rabbi, the 27th of Elul, the year 5775 or 2015. Nathan, yes, last year. Rabbi, we are already in Tishri. Remember, this is still back in the fall of last year. Nathan, yes, yes, Rabbi. In that case, it started 3 days before Rosh Hashanah. This war already started. Rabbi, so how come we don't feel anything? Nathan, because the Holy One, he will not bring it in the beginning. In other words, it's going to happen over a period of time. And that's one of the things that in the whole Shemitah thing, things happen, But they didn't happen suddenly like they did in 2008 when the market fell 777 points, you know. And so that's when there's something Jonathan Cahn has pointed out several times, you know, that God is God and God can do what he wants to do. But one thing that happened is that the Shemitahs don't always happen as sudden things. They can happen over a period of time, like months, you know. And sometimes when they get like that, also Jonathan Cahn said, sometimes at the end of that Shemitah year is when it can be the worst. But it seemed like it's busting out pretty quickly in our own financial economy. I don't know how many, where it is today, but it was bouncing badly the other day. The war, Nathan, the war has already started. I got to check and see you. I'll take just a few more minutes and I'm going to let you go. I just felt this was important enough because a lot of people see things and have things, but I felt I loved young, as a little kid. You know, I really felt God was in this. And every once in a while, I'll bring you a significant prophecy from somewhere. Rabbi, in that case, it started 3 days before Rosh Hashanah and Nathan, the war already started. So how come we don't feel it? Because he will not bring it in the beginning. What will happen is that one day everything will explode. Something will happen. That's why I told you back some time I felt there was going to be a nuclear bomb explosion. And I thought it was going to be here, but it might not be here. See, it might be Israel. But something's going to blow. Something really is going to happen, saints. I want you to know that. What will happen is that one day everything will explode. Something will happen to cause everything to escalate, and we will know instantly we are in full-blown war. And everyone will say, World War III has begun. Everyone will say this, that it's there. That's it. There's no time left. Everyone will understand God is responsible for this. The God is responsible for this. Rabbi, so you're saying there is some sort of security breach that will blow out of proportion. Nathan, yes. Rabbi, everyone will start fighting against each other. Yes, exactly. And they will fight one another. What about us? Nathan, at first we will be excluded from this, but after that, after they will all unite against us. A lot of people may be critical of what this young man saw, says the narrator. One thing is for certain, we do have a Gog and a Magog war coming. Regardless of who we think it is that's coming against Israel, as far as we look at Gog and Magog, clearly the Bible says all nations come against Israel. All nations, including us. We do know that there's coming an all-out war between the nations. And they are fighting over one thing, and that's Israel. Even this young man saw that. They're going to fight over who gets the oil. I forgot the fact that the world does unite to come against Israel as well. You see, all the world fights against each other. We can see all these things. And we see that they are ready to fight each other over oil in the East. I didn't realize they would fight, come to a truth, and then turn against Israel and come to an end. That's where our division, that's where your division of the land comes from. It wasn't dividing it between the Palestinians and the Jews, just like it says in Ezekiel 35. These two nations would be mine. That's what Esau says. That's what Edom says, the Roman Catholic Church, and he divides it up between the nations over who gets it. It's kind of like he was saying that, you know, it seemed like I've heard, got some other stuff that realized that it's interesting how involved the Catholic Church is in this whole Israel thing and having, well, anyway, that's another thing, trips to see Netanyahu and all that. All along while these things are happening, as this war prepares to take place, these two witnesses must be here somewhere now, somewhere in this world, these two witnesses. And so is the Antichrist. I'm convinced that he's on this planet. You know, you may have even seen him in the news. Who knows? The Bible says the world will hate these two and try to bring the truth. And so, as I come to an end, I'll just tell you that Susan Constantine, a world-renowned body language expert who specializes in deception detection, she has appeared as an expert on television and radio shows that in print publication in the U.S. and over 1,000, although she is not an expert in the Jewish content of Nathan's testimony, Constantine verified the credibility of Nathan's presentation. In a statement she provided to Breaking Israel's News, Constantine asserted, "I have reviewed the entire video, and it is my professional opinion the boy, Nathan, truthfully believes he experienced a visitation in heaven and was not being deceptive." The end. So in sharing all of that with you, I close with saying there's a song that came to my heart that night. I've asked them to key it up. And I want you to stand. I want to pray a prayer, and I want us to listen to the song. And those of you who have to go, you're dismissed. And those of you who want to pray, I'll probably ask somebody to come up and pray who has voice. But Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that our hearts will be tender. I pray that we will listen with our spiritual hearts and ears, that we stop running so much stuff through our brains and realize that there's a hearing and a listening, Lord. There's a seeing that bypasses the brain, that comes from heaven by the very Spirit of God, through the Word of God, even the Rhema of God. So, Father, in Jesus' name, give us patience with each other and a love that will walk the second mile, the third mile, that will endure and realize, God, the church of Jesus Christ is the most important entity in the world right now. For we are those who are carriers of the life and the Spirit of the living God. And we are those that the world will need someone to speak to. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, God, I pray, do deliver us from evil and deliver us from the evil one, oh God. Father, cleanse us from, Lord God, commercialization and what we can do, Lord. And understand, we are not to know each other by the flesh, as Paul said, but we are to know each other by the Spirit, God. Help us be discerning of one another, Lord. Seeing needs, oh God, and how to pray, God. And Lord, how to look out for one another, Father. For times will come that will shake us, Lord God, and we need someone to help us to stand steady to God, because we all are capable, Lord, of needing some support and help. Father, we bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. We want to be ready, God. We want to be ready. And I'm asking you, Father, because of the special favor that this congregation has in your heart, oh God, for whatever that purpose is, for whatever that reason is, you told me that this was a season that you will fulfill the very purpose that you birthed this church. All these years, God, we thought we were fulfilling the purpose, but now, you know, God, it's when the fruit of the tree, God, is to blossom, Jesus, and be a source of life, oh God, for thirsty, hungry, Lord God, troubled, some deceived souls. God, in Jesus' name, I pray that you give us vision at night. Lord God, give us supernatural, God, discernment of spirits, oh God. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Yes, we want miracles, God. But Lord, you want to move through us, God. You want to manifest yourself through us as you are living in us, oh Lord. And God, I pray for this house, God, this body of believers. You birthed for such a time as this, God, that your royal purpose for each one of our lives and for this congregation will be fulfilled to the glory of God. Yes. To the glory of God. Father, there's a mystery here that only you know. But we believe, oh God, that you love us so, Lord, and you're with us, God, and you appointed the angels, the ministering spirits, to come and minister to us who are heirs of salvation. If we will receive them and welcome them, Lord, in our lives and in our families, oh God, with our children, oh God, and understand that the word of God is true. You are who you say you are, and you will do what you said you will do, Lord, if we will believe you and if we'll trust in you, God. Father, whatever we need, oh God, to be ready to give a handout to somebody, to be able to pray a prayer of miracles for somebody, so let it be. Whatever it is, God, we want to be ready, God. And we ask you to enable us by your supernatural power, by your supernatural word, your spirit, and your anointing. God, we love you, and we love each other passionately, oh God. And we thank you, Father. Father in heaven, do forgive us our sins, oh God. And Lord, and do lead us and guide us in paths of righteousness, oh Lord. For God, in your name, Jesus, we trust. In Jesus' name. Let's hear the song.